Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten. Wait a minute, Word, what are we talking about? Inscripturated Word or incarnate Word? Yeah, both. Jesus is the embodiment of that Word. He is the center of the Word of God. That's why you don't mess with it. You don't start taking this and throwing that away and adding this. Knock that off. Just get under the Word of God and submit yourself to whatever it says, because this is the way through. This is the rubric to help you understand how to navigate in these crazy times. So when it says true, this word is the word alentheno. And the word alentheno comes from a compound word, lenthano. And lenthano means to be hidden, to hide something. But the A at the beginning negates it. So he's now the no longer hidden one. He's called faithful and no longer hidden. That's right in keeping with apocalypse. The word apocalypse has two words compounded together. It means crypto and it means klepto. So you've heard of a kleptomaniac? Like in the psychologist's office, it says all kleptomaniacs, they pay in advance. Okay, so they don't just take it and go. They got to pay in advance. Kleptomaniac, klepto, they steal it. They're people who steal. And crypto means it's cryptic. It's something it's hard to understand, but it's no longer. It's apocalypse. It's no longer cryptic. It's no longer stolen. This truth of Jesus is no longer going to be stolen. He's called faithful and true. You see how beautiful that is? It's going to be revealed who He is. This is the revelation of Jesus. The whole book's been a revelation. All of the plagues, it was He who was breaking those seals. Amazing. He comes down, I think it's chapter 10, and He's coming down and puts one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, and He's the angel of the Lord coming down. He's got a rainbow, He's got a crown, He's got blazing eyes, and it's called the angel. Why is He called the angel of the Lord? That's because the Israelites would understand Him that way. He was the one who showed up in Joshua's time when he was getting ready to take on Jericho, set the battle there. He came to take over. Not to take part, but take over. And understand this, He's coming again, and He's going to take this thing over. The cities are going to fall. The land is going to be leveled. Streams are going to break forth in the desert. That's huge. We don't think so much of it now because we got plenty of water. But man, when you're thirsty and it's been 7 years of drought and the water turned to wormwood and blood and the ships and the sea and all of the fish were decimated, He's going to make springs break forth in the desert. Wow. Why? Because He can. And because that's what He does. He's awesome God. Now the Bible says that He's being called by others, faithful and true. He didn't call Himself that. Everybody's saying He's faithful. He's right on time. He's right in line with what He said. Verse 11 goes on to say, He's called faithful and true, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. Understand this, Jesus is a man of war. All this mamby-pamby, what they call snowflakeism, get out of that generational nonsense and follow Jesus, because He called you as a man to be a man, okay? That's what we need today, is men. Okay? We need some men. Amen? And so understand that when we're seeing He comes to make war, that's what He is. David talked about how God taught my hands to fight. He helped me to leap over a wall. He was able to subdue the giant, and He was able to take on a whole army and gather them around Him. Most of the people He gathered were vagabonds, criminals, people who owed taxes and didn't pay. These were all the throwbacks. They just were not prospering. But out came the ruddy David, who was becoming a strong and manly man, and they just gathered around him. And he taught them. In Psalm 4, the Bible says, as they were running out of town with Absalom after him, He says, "Be still on your beds, consider, tremble, and consider your own hearts. Find out where you're right with God and where you're not right with God. Cleanse your heart." And He says, "Because I've done this, I will both lay me down and sleep, even though I'm running for my life in peace." He had made me to rejoice more than when their wine and their oil did increase, He says in Psalm 4. It's a great picture of a manly man. No matter what comes, you're following Jesus. The Bible says He's coming to judge and make war. The Bible says His eyes were as a flame of fire. The idea of flame of fire has largely been depicted as meaning that His eyes are piercing, because all of His countenance shone like the sun. But the fact that His eyes can sort of peer through, many people have depicted this as being that He actually saw through to the souls of men. If you want a good exercise and you're not able to weather going through the entire Left Behind series, I would encourage you to try to pick up somewhere the glorious appearing. It's a book that depicts when Jesus actually comes. Now, you're going to miss the story behind all of the characters, and it won't mean quite as much to you about them. But when Jesus shows up, every one of them, in real time and at the same time, hear His voice to them personally. He says, I know you. Yeah, but Lord, you don't know what I did. I know you. I love you. Rayford, I love you. You're like, yeah, but I could have done so. Rayford, I love you. It's okay. You, I love. And everybody else is experiencing the same thing at the same time. It just blows the mind. You can listen to it in audio form on YouTube. Get it on the radio drama version. It'll bless your heart. See, that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to see right through us. He knows us. He knows the end from the beginning. You've never shocked Him. He loves you. If He saved you, you're His. He's going to receive you. You're going to be stumbled, buckling at the knees, and He's going to be holding you up. The Bible says in verse 12 further, it says, and on His head were many crowns. These are diadems. Diadems are what we would call cornerstone things. These are the ones that are setting the bar. Okay, these are the crowns that are regal. They are deserved crowns. They are not earned crowns. Okay, He deserves these crowns. He was the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that created everything. He's the one that redeems. He's the one that judges. He's the one that damns. He's the one that saves. He's the one that does it all. He has every hat that you can imagine. We call them crowns here because they're diadems. They're beautiful. They're spectacular. They're crowns. They're His. He has many crowns. The Bible says, and He has a name which no man knew but He Himself. And the word for knew means, it has the idea of Ido. It has the meaning that He sees. He sees who He is. He knows who He is. Jesus knows who He is, okay? That's why He would never buckle in His knees. That's why He would never cower when the Pharisees came up. It's why He never was afraid, never scared or frightened, never worried. He never, never, ever buckled except when they put that fleshly body that He was committed to carry up Calvary's mountain. He'd already taken the whip, cat of nine tails. He'd already taken that. The beating, the spitting, the crown of thorns, the punching, the nakedness, the shame, the laughter, the mockery. He'd taken it all. And the cat of nine tails should have done Him in, but it didn't. His innards were laid bare by the cat of nine tails. Those nails, the cat of nine tails, they would come around. They would rip the abdomen open. No bone was broken, but the flesh was destroyed. The Bible says His face was marred more than any man's. So understand, He earns these crowns. And when people understand who He is and what we as a human race did to Him and what we're still doing to Him this day, not respecting what He did to save us, that is the ultimate sin. If we would say there was a mortal sin, that's it. Rejecting Jesus as the Savior. Not taking Him seriously. Years ago, a preacher down in Virginia used to say it this way, if Jesus Christ is anything at all, He's everything. You can't have a little devil, do you, of Jesus? He's everything. And when we shoot our lines from Him, we know how to navigate. And that's what it means about these diadems. He sets the bar. A king can only be defined by something else kingly. Jesus is the King. And He's the King of Kings. The Bible says He had many crowns and a name that was written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And His name was called the Word of God. Now when you see that vesture, you have to remember this is not the first time this has been depicted. Isaiah 63 verse 1 through 6, the Bible says, who is this that cometh up from Edom? In Sunday school today, we studied Obadiah, which is all about Edom. But it's the Edom of the old days, okay? And what happened to them, and it projects into the future about the rest of the world being like that. The Bible says, who is this that cometh up from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, comes back the answer. I that speak in righteousness and mighty to save. And they say to him, why art thou red in thine appearing? And thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat. He says, I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. You know who that is? That's us. The year of my redeemed is come. Okay, we're going to get you out of here. We'll fix this. It's not going to have to be like this anymore. The day of my redeemed has come. And I looked. I looked, he says, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. And my fury, it upheld me. I had wrongs to right and vengeance to measure out. There were people who had been killed for my name's sake. I had the time of blood guiltiness to deal with. He says, so I was able to go, and I tread down the people in mine anger, and I made them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I'm telling you, the second coming is not just in chapter 19 of Revelation. It's in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. It's here in chapter 63. The Bible says the day of the Lord is coming. So I say to you, enjoy the reality. This is your hope, beloved. If you're God's child, this down here, it's a brief speck. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. So this is all just a little bit of details. But when you know Jesus, you're going to live forever in glory. You're going to see some amazing things come to pass. It's going to be a good day. When He's doing all this treading out, when He comes, we're with Him. Look what the Bible says in verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. We saw a little bit of that last week when we saw the hallelujahs, because they were clothed in the righteousness of the saints. They were granted unto them to get credit for doing some good after salvation. And they knit together the garments of the bride. And the Bible says that they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now it says armies. Now when you trace the scriptures on this armies thing, you could say, well, there was the spirit of just men made perfect in the Old Testament. You could say there was the angels. You could say there was the church as a separate entity. Well, I believe what I'm seeing here, and this is just a little bit of parsing, comparing verse to verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. See that? That's the first thing He says. That's a group of armies. That's an army. He's going to be revealed from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Talk about hell. It's not going to end. It's going to be everlasting, rolling destruction. A person going to hell, going to be there forever. 10,000 years, we're going to be singing. Bright shining as the sun, we're going to be shining. They're going to be screaming. 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years, no end. You say that is harsh. It is not harsh when you consider the value of one soul. And every soul that you and I have kind of tripped up, led the wrong way, taught the wrong thing, even before salvation. But after salvation, even worse probably, right? I mean, let's face it. Sometimes we've fumbled the ball. Sometimes we've buckled. Sometimes we were, as the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, when the righteous falls, he's as a troubled fountain. They see that. They don't know what to do with it. But then after they get harder, they start saying, yeah, I knew it all along. They weren't real. And they got a reason not to follow. And so that we would be culpable for. But as believers, Jesus paid our sin. Jesus took care of everything. Jesus knew we'd fall down. And He said, I've accounted for that. And He says, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. But if you're lost, you're responsible for every soul, the blood of every soul that you put in harm's way. Your children, when you taught them to chase skirts and love wine and love beer and love alcohol and love all the stuff of the world, love the fascinations, love the world and the world's way, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all of it. You've taught, and when you've taught, you've stumbled them when you've done that perpetually.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.